It's cold outside. Come on in and warm up with another episode of the Super Mercado Brothers Video Game Music Podcast.
How's it going, everyone? My name is Carl Brueggemann.
And I'm Will Brueggemann.
Thanks so much for joining us today. Today's topic is ice and snow. Brrr.
As you can tell, we're sitting here with a nice glass of cider, just vegging out in this very chilly holiday season to listen to some chilly music from all different video games.
Yeah, it is that time of year where hopefully you can, you know, hang out with some loved ones and just enjoy some nice time together and some nice wintry video game music with us today.
So. Yeah, I know for me personally, this is an episode that I've actually been looking forward to for like ever since we started the podcast.
Yeah,
this is like
fact,
the first
like,
idea I ever
this
had.
Was like, I think, Will's first idea for like episodes we
I'm
could
like,
do.
I can't wait till we make it to the winter. And
but
we
wanted to
that.
Wait until this time of the year to actually do it. So it's cool that we're actually finally getting to do this. And
yeah, I feel like part of me is like we've achieved the next step.
Yeah.
Because it's almost been a year. Oh, we got to celebrate our anniversary
yeah.
when that
comes. We're getting up there. We're getting up to a year, so it's going to be very exciting when that happens. But
well, yeah, that track we played in with was World 5 from New Super Mario Brothers for the DS, and we just think that one's nice. It sort of puts you in the right mood. It obviously is using some of those cold music cliches, like, you know, you got those sort of sleigh bells
and are a staple, yeah.
I thought the melody was kind of nice, but it's definitely something that's short enough where we don't really need to spend too much time talking about it.
Yeah, so. Similar to other episodes, you're going to see a lot of compositional devices used in a lot of these tracks. The first one, which Will just noted, was the use of sleigh bells, which you're going to hear a lot. Another thing you're going to note, and we'll talk about this as we get into it, but a lot of metallic percussion sounds you're going to hear, because that's something that helps to evoke the ice kind of feel. So, yeah, with that being said, we're going to get into today's pretty awesome playlist of tracks here. The first track we're going to talk about is from DuckTales for the NES.
One of my favorite NES soundtracks. I think both of ours, we really love the soundtrack. And the cool thing is this game doesn't have too many levels, but it does have a snow level, the Himalayas. So we're going to play the music that plays during that very chilly level.
Yes, and this soundtrack was composed by Hiroshige Tanimura. Here is the Himalayas from DuckTales. Listening to the Himalayas from DuckTales, composed by Hiroshige Tanimura. Man, that's such a happy and lively piece.
Yeah.
Great way to start off today's episode.
Yeah, in fact, I think it uses, at least for the NES, a lot of sort of cold music cliches, like with the delay and the it almost sounds metallic.
Exactly.
And this level is really cool because it's a very multifaceted level. You sort of fall down into this giant sort of icy cave and you have to sort of climb your way back up. It's very cool, and this music does a nice job because there's a lot of ice and snow and
Yeah, really cool. Soundtrack is just such a gem. I mean, I think we only discovered it fairly recently, but like the moon, we had heard that for years, but I never really knew what that was from. But man, the soundtrack is just, it's just such a gem. It's great. Yeah, Will actually this summer, he posted a review of this, so you can find it on our YouTube channel. It's pretty nice. He talks quite a bit about the actual music too. So
it's a brief game review, and then it's a little bit more of a music analysis because I just sort of wanted to get it all out there because I was just so infatuated with the soundtrack. Mm-hmm.
Yep. Very unique game. So now we're going to move on to the 16-bit era to Donkey Kong Country for the Super Nintendo. And this is a track that, again, we've been wanting to play for a long time, but we kind of always knew in the back of our heads we're going to save it up for this Ice and Snow episode. Mm-hmm. So very exciting now. This is a track called Ice Cave Chant, and it is one of the snow levels in this first Donkey Kong Country game. And this soundtrack was, of course, composed by Dave Wise. Let's take a listen to Ice Cave Chant. Thank you. This is Ice Cave Chant from Donkey Kong Country, composed by Dave Wise. And yeah, for me and Will, I think one of the most classic ice themes of any video game. Yeah, and this track is so unique. There's a lot of dissonance, and there's some chords that kind of go where you're not expecting to. And a lot of times when you think about snow levels, I guess you'd think that it would be a little more happy than what this is doing musically, but it still fits, and it's not, like, sad, but there's just a little bit of mystery there.
Right.
Which fits perfectly to the level. But again, yeah, you hear a lot of those metallic sounds, a lot of glockenspiel, vibraphone, harp. So a lot of plucked and metallic sounds on this track. But
yeah, one thing that I really like is this is a snowy level, but it's not actually snowing, which is cool because you can tell he's not using any of those sort of like snowing cliches.
Exactly.
Like there's no sleigh bells or...
It's just an ice level, yeah.
Yeah, and it's really nice because you do get a lot of those sort of more plucked sounds, which really works for this type of level. But one thing that I really like about this track in particular is how long it takes to start up. It starts off very slowly, and it takes a little while to get into the actual form of the song, which is kind of cool because I feel like the whole thing about this game is it's a very beautiful looking game, especially for the time. And the music also sounded technically way better than anything most people had ever heard at that point in a video game.
And I think the music was more subtle than people may have heard in a video game, because there were these great melodies, but a lot of times they would kind of take their time and they would develop this ambiance, somewhat similar to like aquatic ambiance. There were certain tracks where he'd really just kind of soak in the mood for a while before he got into it.
And I think that's nice. I think it helps to sort of sustain that effect, that sort of like powerful nature of the game and almost how important it feels at the time.
Yeah.
Because it doesn't just come out all guns blazing, throwing the melody at you right away. It sort of takes a while to build up and develop. And as a piece of music, it's really nice because, you know, especially for this type of theme, when we're thinking about being cold and being chilly, sort of having that sort of soft fade in almost makes you feel very comfortable when you're all nice and snug at home.
There's so many unique things about this track, though. I love that chord, that it's kind of a demonic chord. I don't know, there's certain chords here where it's like it's a little bit mysterious. But
yeah, the last thing that I'd like to say is, if you notice, there's that dun, dun, dun. And what's cool about that is the first two hits, what's nice about it is it's working like rhythmically. It's like dun, 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 but it sounds like it's happening on the offbeats. But what's actually happening is it's like delay, because the first two fit in with the rhythm right on the offbeats, but then the third one happens a little bit early, which gives it almost like this sliding sense of like how you're slipping and sliding around the levels. Like there's a little bit of uncertainty there because the rhythm is not completely precise.
You mean when the delay notes come in,
right?
It's not perfectly to the grid.
Because the first two, you feel like it's right to the grid, but then the third one comes a little bit early.
That's
interesting. And it does a nice job of creating like an intense amount of syncopation between.
Oh, that's cool. I didn't notice that when we were listening to that. I'll have to go back and listen to that again, but maybe you guys noticed that. We're going to move on to Mario Kart 64, and just another absolutely classic snow level. This is Frappe Snowland, composed by Kenta Nagata. Listening to Frappe Snowland from Mario Kart 64, composed by Kenta Nagata. And it's so funny. I feel like I should come up with a list of video game tracks that use the 1-4-5 chord progression with the bass note staying on the 1.
Yeah.
That sort of pedal point. But it's just so classic, and especially in the Mario Kart series. One thing about this song is it's really well composed. In the last section, there's just some great chromaticism happening there, but it kind of shares a lot. It has a lot in common to some of the early ancestry of the Mario games,
right,
which is nice to hear, because in the more recent Mario Kart games, I feel like you're losing some of that linkage.
Yeah, that's a really good point.
I really appreciate this song.
Yeah, I mean, this is probably my all-time favorite Mario Kart song. I love the melody and obviously that chord progression that's used a lot, but it's
timeless.
It's very timeless, and what's cool about it is it does a nice job to give the Mario Kart series a little bit of its own staple.
Yep.
And something about that progression just fits with racing because it sort of sounds perpetual and it goes dun 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 dun, and it never quite, you know, it doesn't go 5-1, it just goes back 1-4.
It's very perpetual. It's good for a racing game. And in this particular track, if we want to talk a little bit about the sounds here, you're not getting the sleigh bells, but you are getting a tambourine,
right,
which is kind of the same effect.
Yeah.
It's kind of evoking the snow that's around you. But again, this level, it's not snowing. So yeah, it is kind of interesting. There's almost like these two kind of schools of ice and snow game composing. It's like if you have a level that is actually snowing, a lot of times you're going to hear more. You're going to hear more that stereotypical like, oh, it's Christmas and it's
right,
snow. But if you have a level that's just dominated by ice and maybe there's snow around you, it's going to be a little bit different. So like, it's kind of cool to hear those differences.
And what I like about this is you do get that sort of metallic percussive sound, which is obviously intentional for creating this sort of like chilly atmosphere. Mm-hmm. But what's nice about it is it's actually doing interesting things rhythmically. It's not just doing that constant backbeat. Like
exactly.
It's a little bit more rhythmic with what's going on in the song. And I think that's so cool. And just, again, this melody is just so timeless. It's really one of the all-time classics, in
definitely,
my opinion.
Awesome track. We're going to move back to the Super Nintendo and go back to Rockman and Forte, and we're going to play Cold Man's Stage. And the soundtrack was composed by Toshihiko Horiyama, Naoshi Mitsuda, and Akiri Kaida. Here is Cold Man's Stage. Listening to Cold Man Stage from Rockman and Forte. And I just absolutely love this track. The only thing that's really evoking an ice or snow feel is the sound of that lead, that
right,
metallic sound. But other than that, compositionally, they're not worrying about that too much.
Yeah.
And that's what's so cool, is that it's just a great song. And honestly, you could have, if someone told me that, oh, this was actually composed before they knew it was going to be Cold Man Stage, I'd believe it. Because all you have to do is, oh, let's just add this metallic sound here. And then it works with the
right
level, but it also, as a piece of music, works perfectly.
Well, and what's also nice is it gives this entire soundtrack a sense of, like, cohesion. And every track is of the same school of composing, and they all have that very, very jazzy nature.
And that's impressive because there's three composers.
Right.
You know?
But what's nice about this track is it almost does sound chilly, though, just with that melody. Not just the instrument, but how simple it is. It's a little bit more simple than any of the other melodies
right
in the game. Ding, 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 ding.
I love the melody.
It's so brilliant because it's like, I feel like a lot of game composers of the time, when they had themed levels, they would just go for all-out cliches for each level. But what's nice about the Mega Man series is each level is based on the type of boss that's in the level. And most of them are so specific that there isn't really a cliche to go along with it. And what mm-hmm. I think is nice is that these composers didn't take the opportunity of, oh, Cold Man, we can just phone it in and do like a generic, like chilly type of song. They didn't really do that so much. much.
It all had to be true to the Mega Man, right? To the Mega Man kind of sensibilities.
But it still totally fits the vibe and aesthetic of this whole level. And yeah. It's really cool how seriously they took this soundtrack.
Yeah, I'm very impressed that when you have multiple composers that are able to come together and go for one specific sound, where right. It's really hard for me to tell the difference between which composer did which track.
Yeah, I mean, it really
so
does.
Cohesive.
It does feel like they're coming from the same school of thought when it comes to writing music for this soundtrack. It's like they all sat down and decided, what sort of sound do we want to evoke in this soundtrack?
What's so crazy is it's such a departure from every other previous Mega Man game. So I wonder whose idea was it that, guys, we're going to do a really kind of jazzy, funky, like kind of laid back soundtrack.
Yeah.
I mean, I think
it's
for
so
a lot,
crazy how
for
laid
a lot
back
of people, they were probably disappointed when they heard the music, because if you're a fan of classic Mega Man music, I do think there are a lot of people that do not like this soundtrack.
Yeah.
And that's understandable. I see where they're coming from. It just happens for me. It's so just advanced.
Very interesting. And what I think is nice is the game Rockman and Forte is very different than previous Mega Man games.
Yeah.
Before, Mega Man games were a little bit more about speed and platforming and shooting. But this game, your character takes up more of the screen, and I feel like you move a little bit slower than in previous Mega Man games. So it just, that sort of laid back nature, I feel like
you're saying the music kind of fits the gameplay.
Yeah, music fits the gameplay and the mechanics.
Yeah, so this is cool. We're going to move on to another Super Nintendo game, and this is not one that you would inherently think of when you're thinking about winter music. And it was thanks for Will for coming up with this idea. This is from F-Zero, and we're going to play Whiteland 1. This game was composed by Yumiko Kanki and Naota Ishida. Let's take a listen to Whiteland 1 from F-Zero. Listening to Whiteland 1 from F-Zero. I love those crescendos that you heard, those that's very advanced for the Super Nintendo. Yeah, this track, I'm really glad you thought of this, because as soon as we played it, I was like, oh my gosh, yes, yeah. This is classic. And it was lucky, because this was always one of my favorite tracks from this game.
Right.
So it's very lucky that it happened to have a winter theme to it.
There's just so much to say about this. So many interesting things. You could almost analyze every single instrument individually and just like talk about why it's so effective. But I just like to take a little bit of time to just talk about the bass.
Yeah.
That bass line is so perfect, mainly because it's almost functioning like an ostinato in that it's not changing for the progression. Yeah. But what's also nice is that bass sound just has like no attack on it. It's just all body. And what's nice about that is it does a good job, because what it's playing is very like interesting, because it you hear it and you just sort of hear the pitches, but when you actually listen to the rhythms that it's playing, it's like there's like weird things going on there, and it's like it does this crazy thing, because when it's played over and over again like an ostinato, your brain starts to get used to it.
Exactly.
And you just start to just become comfortable with that sort of rhythmic dissonance, if
I do think that right off the bat, if there was more attack, if it was more of like a pick based sound, it wouldn't have gelled as well with the rest of the song. So
it's
I do
so
think
true.
It was a very good choice. I actually, this is one of my favorite bass sounds on the Super Nintendo.
Yeah.
And drums as well. The band, the F-Zero band, the virtual band, is one of my favorite bands of this era.
Yeah,
I
feel like the bass instrument and the lead instrument really go well together, because musically, they're sort of what's creating that very like jazzy dissonance, but they're very similar instruments, like technically, in that neither of them have very much attack, and they're very much just sort of kind of pulsy and Yeah, it's just really cool. Also, I just love how the melody, it's always landing on those like sevenths and ninths. Na, 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 na.
Oh, yeah. Oh, intervals are so unique. Great. Don't you just miss this old style of video game composing?
Oh,
I mean, the Japanese
really
sensibilities, the thing, superficially, people think, oh, it's just a rocking race soundtrack.
Yeah, there's so much there, though.
But underneath it all, there's a lot more that's kind of owed to the jazz world than there is the rock world. It's almost like they're just adding some of those little rock things to make it more accessible for a lot of people, but really musically there's a lot more jazz happening here, and that's something that is missing in a lot of more modern soundtracks.
You know, that's such a good point, and I really like that you brought up those Japanese sensibilities, because really this is so different from like that Mario Kart song that we played.
Yeah,
but they're both those Japanese takes on different styles of music. Mm-hmm. And I feel like the main consistency in all of them is just like the incredible gift of melody and the importance that they put on the chord progression and the melody and making it memorable and rhythmic. It's like it's succeeding on every level. And also, a cool thing to note about this, it's doing that same type of thing that we talked about in that Mario game. A lot of racing games do it where they have, you know, those three chords and they sort of cycle back and forth between them. And you don't go, you know, from five back to one.
I think this is in
like,
minor,
dun,
though.
Dun,
but what's,
dun, dun,
what's
dun,
funny
dun,
about this piece is I think online I saw a lot of people said, oh, it sounds like Billie Jean.
Oh, yeah, because Billie Jean is the only song that uses that chord progression.
It's probably one of the most well-known ones. But yeah, that's
kind of like even Michael Jackson uses that chord progression a lot. Like Smooth Criminal.
Oh, what a
similar
hack. All right, we're going to move on to Kirby's Epic Yarn. And Will, I think this has come up for the Wii, right?
Yes, sir.
Yeah, and this soundtrack was composed by Tomoya Tamita.
Oh, great.
Yeah. So we're going to play a track called Snowy Fields from Kirby's Epic Yarn. Here we go. You're listening to Snowy Fields, composed by Tomoya Tamita from the game Kirby's Epic Yarn. And yeah, this one is a great showcase of all the different compositional staples that composers will use to evoke a snow feel.
Right.
This one has a lot of those almost like Christmas cliches. You have the sleigh bells, you have the tubular bells, which is one of the just the best ways to evoke that. Just kind of, bundle up and enjoy the holiday season. Yeah,
and it also it evokes a lot of like old like Christmas music. Like,
yes.
And also just the arrangement and that part at the end, that sort of build up back into the loop again. Mm. It also sounds a little bit like classic, like old school video game music a little bit. And it's nice that they're sort of going for, I mean, obviously it's synthesized, but that sort of orchestral sound for this old school style of game composing.
Yeah, I think some people equate this soundtrack with some of the Galaxy music. Not that I personally do, but I kind of see where they're coming from. It is nice to get a little bit more of that lush orchestral sound. The difference being that this game is obviously fake.
Right.
You're not having those real instrumentalists, but it's very melodic, and I was impressed with what I heard so far of the soundtrack.
Well, one thing that is so cool about this game is it has one of my favorite art styles in any video game. It's on the Wii, which doesn't, again, have the greatest hardware capabilities, but I feel like that limitation has caused so many game developers to be very creative in how they implement the art style. And this one uses a lot of sort of like fabrics and yarn and stuff to create this, like, on the outside, it just looks like a conventional 2D platformer, but you notice that everything is made out of fabrics and like sewing materials. And
it's cool.
Really cool because a lot of it actually looks real. You know,
I feel like Yoshi's Island was one of the first games to kind of do that, an art style.
Nintendo is just always at the head of creating creative new art styles for their games.
And it's a kind of thing where less is more in this type of art style.
Definitely, I agree.
And which sets it apart because so many games look so amazing nowadays that it's kind of funny that if you go backwards, it's almost more impressive in a way. It's weird.
Well, and what's cool is this is the same group who did Wario Land Shake It, which also had that great anime style.
And it was also the same composer. Right. Yeah, so interesting. We're going to go to Mario Galaxy 2, and we're going to play a track called Freezy Flake Galaxy.
Yeah, this is actually an arrangement of the Sky Station 1 theme, which is sort of considered to be the main theme of Mario Galaxy 2. But this does a great job of creating that sort of snowy variation on that theme.
Yeah, so this is composed by Mahito Yokota. Let's take a listen to Freezy Flake Galaxy. You're listening to Freezy Flake Galaxy from Mario Galaxy 2. And yeah, right off the bat here, you had that 1-4-5 snow chord progression. I don't know what we can call that chord progression, but and that wasn't in Sky Station Galaxy, so that was a nice thing that they added in this one. And yeah, again, sleigh bells, really nice metallic instruments. One of my favorite technical things is that Rhodes or that electric piano you're hearing going from right to left. Every single attack is on a different channel.
Yeah.
Which is so much fun. But yeah, another thing you're going to hear is you're going to hear the use of the accordion in a lot of this music.
Right.
You'll hear that in this one. I think it was in the previous track. But that's another thing that really drives home, for some reason, it drives home the winter feel.
Yeah, I think that was really something that became popular in Mario 64 as far as the Mario series.
And unfortunately, today we won't be able to play Cool Cool Mountain, which might be one of the best snow themes of all time because we just played that in our Koji
episode. So you can sort of consider this like a stand-in for that track.
Sure.
It's actually using some of the same devices musically.
Yeah. Awesome track.
One thing that I just like about this is he gets so much use out of this melody, which is such a good melody, but in the classic Koji Kondo style of Mario music, creating a great theme and doing variations on
exactly.
it. This is just a fantastic variation, and like Carl was mentioning that Rhodes, what's nice about it is in the orchestral version, you get less of just like chord progression sounds, and you just have all these different counter melodies
textures,
that are outlining those general harmonics. But what's nice about this is it's just simple. It's on a rope. It's dun, dun, dun.
It's
dun,
much more
dun,
simple,
dun,
yeah.
Dun, dun. And it still works super well with that melody.
It's a good point about that theme and variations. That's something that I didn't really notice as much in the first Galaxy. They had
right.
a lot more music, where I feel like in this game, there was still a lot of music, but they definitely rehashed themes more, which I don't think was a problem.
I think that's a great thing, and that a lot of good Mario games do.
I think it's funny, there might be a lot of people nowadays who might kind of be hard on that type of thing. Where, oh, they're just rehashing, but that's a
but
really classic
totally
technique
not.
For video games.
I mean,
game
it's
music.
Like everything about this, from a technical sense to a musical sense, is different. The only sort of consistency is that melody. And I think a lot of people would dismiss that, but musically, that's sometimes a lot harder to do than creating a brand new piece of music.
I agree. Yeah, no, that's definitely its own art form in and of itself. We're going to move on to Shenmue for the Dreamcast.
Ooh, love this game.
Love this soundtrack as well. And this is composed by a multitude of people. But the track we're going to play is called Snowy Scenery. And this specific track was composed by Ryuji Iuchi. Let's take a listen to Snowy Scenery. ¶¶ listening to this, Will was like, what's that percussive instrument that they use in GoldenEye? I was like, a triangle? He didn't realize it was a triangle.
I thought a triangle was just like, no one actually cares about it. I thought triangle, that's just what you give to the kid who's not a musician.
No, a triangle is an awesome percussion instrument. It's very underrated. But yeah, this is...
Are you a good triangleist?
I am very good, yeah. The thing about triangle, what's really fun, is you can mute it and unmute it, so you can go da-da-ding, 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 which is actually really cool for a lot of jazz and funk music. A lot of times you'll hear that. Anyway, this is Snowy Scenery from Shenmue, composed by Ryuji Uchi. This track is so awesome. This is another soundtrack where it has a very cohesive musical style, which happens to be composed by, I think, like five different composers. It was one of those things where right off the gate, they're like, all right, we need to go for this specific sound, and they all work together really well. This was one where Yuzo Koshiro contributed some music to, but this specific track was not composed by him. But fear not, later on in the episode, we will have a Yuzo track, so...
It never fails. I feel like we play one almost every week.
It's hard not to. I mean, he's done so much and so much great music, you know?
Yeah, it's almost like 6 degrees of Kevin Bacon.
It is.
He's attached to like everything in the game world. I mean, he's not my personal favorite game composer. I'm not saying that like I don't like him. I'm just like, mm-hmm. Koji Kondo would be my favorite. But I think he has his fingers extended in almost every single genre, which is so cool.
Yeah, he just makes me smile just thinking
about
them.
But we'll talk about him a little bit later.
Yeah, this track is incredibly melodic. And it's a lot of the soundtrack has a very nostalgic feel and kind of melancholy feel. Like, it's a little bit of a downer. Like, it's kind of sad.
Mm-hmm.
I think the game in of itself is a little bit like that. I think it's very emotional. I said earlier that there's a lot of voiceovers in the game. It's very story-driven, and I think some people probably think it's kind of boring. I don't think it's very exciting.
Right.
So I think the music really fits it. I do think that the music is an integral part of this experience. I think that for a lot of people that love this game, I do think that they owe a lot of it to the music.
Dude, now, did we do a Shenmue track on our history of video game
music
episode?
We did.
Did we play that sad one where we're talking about how like the Dreamcast
died? The death of the Dreamcast. I think it was Rain, I think that was called. Yeah, that was a
Yuzo track. I
thought
that was a really nice effect how we were talking about, sadly, the Dreamcast didn't survive.
And you hear the sad piano music.
Sad piano music.
Yeah, no, that was a good choice. That was fun. I liked that episode. That was cool.
Got to do another one of those. In 20 more years, when we can do a part two with
Well, we did the history. We should do the future of video game music or something.
That wouldn't really work from a musical standpoint.
That's funny. All right, we're going to move to the GBA, and we're going to go to a soundtrack, DK King of Swing. And this is a hidden gem of a soundtrack. Oh my gosh, this is a great soundtrack. And I think a lot of people aren't familiar, but we're going to play a track from this. This is called Raging Ravine, and this soundtrack was composed by Takashi Koga. Here we go. Raging Ravine, one of another great examples of the unique sounds of the GBA, how they can incorporate the 8-bit and 16-bit sounds flawlessly. And you're hearing a lot of SNES-style samples here, and you're also hearing a lot of Game Boy sounds, too, mixed
in. One thing that I think is so interesting is the sample channel on this is much worse than the sample channel on the SNES, because we talked about before, the SNES is all sample channel. But this, like, compresses the samples so much that it almost makes them their own instrument, more akin to, like, the NES sample channel.
What I think is cool, though, is it wasn't that noticeable when you're playing the Game Boy Advance, because the speaker itself is kind of small and crappy.
Yeah.
So it actually was designed for that speaker, I feel. I think it worked really well. And just to talk a little bit about the soundtrack, if you remember well, do you remember on our bonus stages episode a long time ago?
I do remember that.
We had a track from this game and we were just blown away by it. It was really well done. But yeah, this soundtrack is really awesome. And there's probably a couple other tracks that I'd like to play at some point in the future. But really nice kind of organ solo in this song, which is impressive for the
Very
GBA.
Very cool.
I wonder how they did that with the sample channel.
Yeah,
it almost
kind of
sounds like wavetable, but I don't know how they did that, if like each individual note was a sample, or if they like a run, like a measure run was a sample, and then they loaded different measures.
Yeah, that's
like,
really interesting.
I really don't have an extreme knowledge of that.
We should look into that, because I was always interested whenever I would play GBA that it's like the graphics looked at least SNES level, in some cases a little bit better. But I always was wondering, like, when they would port games to the GBA, like when they do like Yoshi's Island or Mario 3, the sound was never quite as good as the SNES counterparts, but yet they'd have samples for like Mario would like talk and stuff. So I was always confused where it's like, it sounds a little bit better, but it sounds a little bit worse at the same time.
Yeah, this is very interesting. All right, it is very exciting. It is time to move on to our track of the week. Now, like we said earlier, how we had the idea to do this episode from the very beginning, the inception of this podcast, this track we knew we wanted to play on this episode.
Right.
And we have been waiting to play this classic track, one of our favorite tracks from this era of video game
music.
This
is actually, this might be a little historic, but I think this is the first video game remix that Carl ever did. I don't even think he'd call it that, but he liked this song so much. I remember him trying to recreate it on Cakewalk, this old MIDI program that we had.
I forgot about
that. Yeah, I remember you listening to it and trying to like figure out the harmonies and stuff.
So anyway, without further ado, this is Ice Cap Zone from Sonic 3. And it's so funny. I think on one of our Sonic episodes, I think someone left a comment on our blog saying like, oh, why didn't you play Ice Cap Zone? I think a lot of people here and there were maybe wondering, why haven't they played that classic track? And honestly, it's because we've been saving it up for this episode. So without further ado, we're just going to play this awesome track. This is Ice Cap Zone from Sonic 3, composed by Michael Jackson. Listening to Ice Cap Zone from Sonic 3, composed by MJ. And yeah, this is, for me, my favorite winter theme in all of video games. There's so much I could say about this one. The melody is just so great, and I love how it's utilizing a lot of sevenths and ninths. It's the type of thing that you hear a lot in MJ's music and a lot of this music from this time period, but it's just, oh my gosh, the melody is great. And this chord progression, the dun-dun-dun-dun-dun-dun-dun-dun, is like, if that's not an MJ bass line, I don't know what is. I think this was one of the things that people, before it was confirmed that he worked on this game, I think a lot of people listened to this and were like, wait a second.
Well, you know what was crazy? I always remember before that was ever even a thing. What was that? It was like in Carnival Night Zone. We would always listen to that.
Yeah, there's a part in Jam.
And it sounded just like Jam.
Yeah.
And I always thought it was like, oh, isn't that funny? They kind of stole this from Michael Jackson. But there's so many compositional things in here that are just so Jackson.
I mean, there's so many things to love about this track. The bass line is awesome. The instrument sounds are great. The melody, what I love about the melody is there's that little delay that happens right after with the PSG channel. But my gosh, does it ever build up the emotions?
Yeah.
Because the bass line, I think it's like 8 repetitions before the actual melody comes in. Right now, you're hearing the Act 2 version right here.
What I like about this is it's like you have that doobie-dabba, 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 and that's the part where it just sings, like almost like the panning just spreads out to the side, like
and that really evokes the ice metallic feel.
What's cool is like it works with the level because you start off, you're like outside, you're just like sledding down,
you're snowboarding,
yeah, and by the time you get inside this cave, it like opens up, and you hear more delay and everything. Oh, it's just, it's a brilliant use of not only the hardware, but also counter melody, and oh, it's just fantastic.
Yeah, the timing is so perfect, the way that works the level, because I forgot about that. When you're snowboarding, the whole cutscene, that's when you just hear the bass line.
Right.
Once you finally get into the cave, that's where the melody comes in, and it's just, oh my gosh, it's such a payoff.
Yeah, and the thing is, I really do feel like it's not just Michael came up with the melody. I feel like almost every single one of these sort of lines, he probably came up with.
I mean, you can hear it. I mean, if you kind of know Michael and seen a lot of these videos, you can almost see him like beatboxing this stuff.
Because
in
he
his
does
head.
That. Like he'll hear it in his head, and he used to have this little recorder, and he'd like perform every part of the song. You know, that's how he came up with it. He wouldn't just like, play down, sit on a piano or something. Like he'd hear everything in his head.
And he would just record boom ting, boom ting. Yeah, I mean, you could almost hear Michael just going like a boom ting, a da da boom boom, a da da boom. But like, you can just kind of hear him doing that.
Totally. In fact, just a little side note. Carl Martin and I, we were watching this series of YouTube videos where Michael was in this sort of court case where people were suing him for plagiarizing this song that they supposedly wrote. Mm-hmm. And obviously he was found innocent, but what was cool is for some of the testimony, he had to sort of explain his songwriting process. So it was this really long trial, and they played all these demos that he made like immediately after when he wrote the song, and it was just so impressive.
Because he'd be like beatboxing on the stand, and he'd be like, "Objection!" It was really funny. It's actually
fantastic.
We really recommend watching those videos if you can find them. Awesome. We're going to move on to Mega Man 1 for the NES, and this soundtrack was composed by Manami Matsume, and she did a really great job of kind of laying the foundation of this whole series. We're going to play Iceman Stage. This is Iceman Stage from Mega Man, composed by Manami Matsume. I think what's so interesting about this piece and a lot of the music of this first game is it doesn't sound like classic Mega Man to me. I think this was kind of before some of the compositional staples were developed by Takashi Datese, to be quite honest, in the second game. But I still think the music is very well done in this first game. And this track is so unique. I love it in the build-up to the melody. You hear the dun-dun-dun-dun-dun-dun-dun-dun. It's like this weird, like, increase in tempo. It's really impressive.
Yeah, what I love here is you just get the melody and bass because they have that delay, and like we said, there's only three channels on the NES. So what's so cool about that is you really just have that bass line and melody working together. But like DuckTales, that track we played earlier, by simplifying it to that degree, it causes the melody to have to move all over the place. And that delay effect is really effective in creating sort of a wide, expansive, icy terrain.
Such a good point. And really, that's one of the reasons why a lot of these NES melodies were so limber and so colorful and active, is because they almost had to serve two functions. Not only was it the melody, but it almost had to serve the chord too, so that's why you had to jump all over and kind of accent all the chords underneath. But yeah, this melody is kind of wild, but it still kind of works for an ice level, you know. Like, I think the inherent sounds of the NES can be kind of metallic and piercing, so it kind of works for an ice theme.
Yeah, it's very effective use of the hardware. A lot of cool like instrument switching type of things are going on there.
We're going to move on to Ease 2, composed by the one and only Yuzo Koshiro. We're going to play a track called Ice Ridge of Noltia. ¶¶ Holy smokes. That is Ice Ridge of Noltia from Ease 2. And the soundtrack was composed by Miko Ishikawa and Yuzo, but this track is a Yuzo track. And oh my gosh, this is one of my favorite soundtracks of all time. And it was so fun because if you remember on our Ease episode, it was a very recent discovery for me. But at this point, I don't have any problem saying that. I absolutely love the Ease music. And I feel like the first and second soundtrack is really the magnum opus of this style of PC-88 Falcom music that you're going to hear all over the place, but this is really where it shines the most. And the melody is so great. The bass line is just incredibly active and rhythmic and exciting. And I don't know, this is one of the best pieces of Ease music, I think.
Right. And one thing that I think is really effective, we talk about the use of ninths all the time when we're mentioning Ease music, and it's really something that you can't really ignore when you're talking about Yuzo Koshiro. But what I like about this is it sort of lets you know up front, what are you going to get in this song? Immediately, you get the sort of driving dun 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 dun,
like Ease rhythm.
Almost the third note goes to that ninth. Like it's like giving you right what you need immediately, letting you know everything you're going to get in the song. It's kind of cool because you know what I like is like there's sort of a saying that it's like a really good song can capture the listener within the first 5 seconds.
Yeah.
And while that's not always necessarily true, I think this is a case where it lets you know everything that you're going to hear within the first 5 seconds. And so, you know, you could really know, oh, is this something I'm interested in or is this something I'm not interested in? And it doesn't really change up your expectations too much, which is kind of cool because this wasn't made to be just a piece of music just to be listened to. This
was for
a game, but it sort of uses that like immediate introduction, which I think is cool.
What's so great about these two soundtracks is it's unapologetic, no holds bar Yuzo Koshiro music in your face. And it's just exciting in every way. And yeah, one thing about this specific track is it does fit the Ice feel. I mean, again, you're hearing a lot of those percussive, sharp, biting sounds of the FM synth chip. And again, the FM synth chip is one of the best ways to evoke a snow and ice feel because the sounds are so piercing and metallic in and of themselves.
Yeah.
So, I mean, everything about it, the bass sounds, the instrument sounds, I mean, they all sound good for an ice level. But again, the composition underneath, it doesn't necessarily, it's not going for like an inherently winter sound.
Right.
Yeah, awesome track. We're going to move on to Super Mario 3D Land. We're going to play the snow theme, and this soundtrack was composed by Asuka Hayazaki, Mihiro Yokota, as well as a few other gentlemen. Here we go. A nice fun snow theme. Again, you're hearing a lot of the instrument sounds that you're going to hear a lot for winter video game music. You hear the sleigh bells. I believe you hear an accordion.
Right.
You hear a lot of metallic sounds.
I love this B section because the rhythm goes from dun 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 to dun 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 dun, and it's so bouncy.
This is one of my favorite themes from Mario 3D Land.
Yeah.
I don't know which specific composer composed this specific track. It was probably Asuka Hayazaki or Mihiro Yokota. I think those were the primary composers for this game. And this was one of the main themes, so.
This is just great. This is a fantastic song. And again, it's using some of those Mario icy sort of staples, but.
Yeah, it's kind of filling in for Cool Cool Mountain again, you know.
Yeah. We've already played this one on the podcast, if I'm correct.
Yeah, I think we played it on our second show and tell episode a long time
ago. That's cool, yeah, because that was when this game sort of just came out.
Yeah. So if you were like, oh, this sounds familiar, yeah, we have played this before.
Yeah, this was one of my favorites when I played through the game. I'm like, oh, that snow level is really good. It definitely feels like old school Mario music a little bit.
Yeah, something that I like personally about this podcast is we do replay music. Like if we play a track, we're not going to never play it again. That's mm-hmm. actually something I kind of like. I think there may be some other shows where maybe they don't feel like replaying something. But I don't know. I think it's cool because you're coming at it from a different context and a different perspective.
A different lens, yeah.
Yeah, so I don't know. I always enjoy that when we can replay themes that we've played a long time ago. We're going to move on to Battletoads for the NES. And this
nice.
Is another Dave Wise soundtrack. This was a rare title. We're going to play Ice Caves. Here we go. Listening to Ice Caves from Battletoads, composed by the legendary Dave Wise. The thing that strikes me immediately about this piece is the delayed rhythms that you hear.
So delayed.
First of all, in the melody, the dun 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 dun, but you also get it in the jun jun jun, that bass sound in that second section. There's two separate examples of those delayed rhythms where it's almost like if you were looking at it on a recording program, you'd slide it to the right on the grid.
Well, and that bass sounds really cool because the delay, you can't delay the triangle because there's not two triangles.
Yeah.
There's only one, so you sort of get
you only get the delay.
Yeah.
Yeah. You're not getting the initial attack.
Yeah.
It's crazy. Like this part here, like jut jut jut. It's like late, but it still works. It's
David
a trip.
Wise did a lot of sort of crazy stuff on the NES. I feel like it almost his type of music was a little bit contained by the limitations of the hardware. Because you look at like the 16-bit console, like the SNES that he did for like Donkey Kong Country, for example, he likes to explore a lot of ambience and a lot of cool things technically. But with the hardware limitations of the NES, there's a lot of like strange B sections. Like we play that like Nightmare on Elm Street one where there's breakdown section that.
In general, I feel like his NES music is more experimental. Like for some reason, when I listen to Dave Wise's NES music, I love it, but I kind of get the sense that he was like under the influence of some sort of mind altering substances because it's really trippy, and a lot of it is. Just like listening to it is just like, wait, what? Like I kind of have to listen to it a couple times. But yeah, so maybe this was the college era Dave Wise.
Well, I think what's cool about this is it definitely leaves room for some of the channels to be cut out because there's not a lot of counter melodies happening.
Yeah.
Which is important because there's so many classic sound effects from this game. For those of you who don't know, this is one of the most classic beat 'em ups of all time, Battletoads.
Yeah.
And there's so many great sound effects. Whenever you punch anybody, it goes doo, 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 you get that glorious NES sort of
rumble. Did they use
the
sample channel for the sound effects, or was it just like
no,
a square?
No, I think it's just a low
a
square.
That's cool. My favorite NES sound effects are like the using of the actual synth chip, not the sample channel.
Yeah, oh, definitely.
That's awesome. We're going to move to another Kirby game. This is called Kirby Air Ride, and I think this was a GameCube title, if I'm not mistaken. And this game was composed by the wonderful Hirokazu Ando, as well as Shogo Sakai, Tadachi Ikikami, as well as Jun Ishikawa, who was kind of the classic Kirby composer. Jun Ishikawa was the one who came up with, I think, Dreamland, a lot of those classic Kirby themes. This is a track called Frozen Hillside.
Thank you.
Cool. This is Frozen Hillside from Kirby Air Ride, composed by Hirokazu Ando, as well as some other fine composers. Yeah, this actual song was utilized again. They reused it in a DS Kirby game. I think it was... what was that? It wasn't Canvas Curse.
Mass Attack?
I think it might have been Kirby Mass Attack. It was one of the DS ones, but I kind of love... Honestly, I love the cheesy GameCube sounds here.
Yeah, it really works with this type of song.
It does work. I mean, some of those kind of cheesier sounds, they definitely work for the ice and snow kind of a feel. I mean, if they were going for something a little more subtle and emotional, I don't think it would work as well. But for something like this where it's a little bit more goofy and campy and fun.
I love you get that just like that constant like descending arpeggio. It's really cool.
Yeah, this track is really well composed. I mean, I would be curious to know which one of these composers actually did it. I kind of want to check out the rest of this soundtrack. But yeah, you know what? We really need to do a Kirby episode maybe next November.
Totally.
We could do that.
Yeah, that's
there's
what
some,
I'm thinking.
Some awesome music here. And for me, my first exposure to the Kirby music was the Smash Brothers games, which is really cool because I think they picked some of the best Kirby music.
Right.
Just so incredibly melodic and catchy. But
right. Yeah, well, now I really want to move on to the next track that we're playing because this is one of my personal favorites from the day.
This is from Viva Piñata, soundtrack composed by Grant Kirkhope, and we were able to talk with him quite a bit when we interviewed him about kind of the inspiration of these soundtracks and how important they meant to him.
Right.
This was, I think, his most favorite work he's ever done in video games.
Yeah,
so.
I guess I'd just like to say, in my opinion, I feel like I can confidently say that this is my favorite song he's ever done by far.
Yeah.
This is Winter Shines from Viva Piñata, composed by Grant Kirkhope.
Here we go. This gorgeous piece is entitled Winter Shines from the game Viva Piñata, composed by Grant Kirkhope. Oh man, this melody is incredibly gorgeous. The song is in C major, but what's so great about the melody is that it goes from that G to the A flat, the dun dun dun, kind of underlying a C major to a C augmented chord.
Exactly.
Which is, man, it's beautiful.
Really gorgeous, something that you sort of hear in a lot of film music, that sort of going
yes.
outside of the key, creating that general sense of mystery and awe. But, oh, Grant Kirkhope, you know what I love is he always has such a gift for melody, but I feel like a lot of the people that grew up with his music might tend to label him and listen to music like Banjo-Kazooie or like Donkey Kong 64 and sort of think, oh, he's just sort of a goofy composer that makes good melodies, but in general, he doesn't do anything that deep. But what I feel like this is such a good counter argument to
yeah.
anyone who would make that claim, because the music for those games is so purposeful in what it's trying to do.
Yeah.
And this just goes to show that he really is about the melody and he can create some just gorgeous textures. I mean, both this track and Oven Fresh Day, which is also from Viva Piñata, I mean, such brilliant, simple melodies that just work so well in video games. And there, I feel like there's certain melodies that, especially in recent times, there's only a few melodies to ever exist where it's like, wow, you've discovered something amazing. And this is something that's so timeless that it could live on forever. And I really feel like this is one of those melodies where it's like, I'm surprised it was written in the time that it was written, because it's just so powerful.
And it's also nice with the context that we have, because I remember one of the things that he said at the very end is just like, I just try to come up with a good tune if I possibly can. And
and
that's just so cool to know that, because he definitely did that in this piece, probably more than any piece he's ever done. So yeah, this is awesome piece. Well, that was just a lot of fun. Like we said, it was a long time coming, and we've been planning and looking forward to this episode for so long. So we hope you guys enjoyed it as much as we did. And we also hope you guys just have a great holiday season. I think this time of year is personally my favorite. I don't know, there's something so fun and exciting about this time of year. So hopefully this episode has been fun for you to just relax and unwind with some great winter music here.
Right. And I think that last track that we played does a good job of covering sort of the intimacy of this time of year. Sort of everyone bundled together, and that's what I really like, because that's the last type of cliche that we had yet to cover musically, and I think that was a good way to send us off. So we're going to play you out with another Grant Kirkhope track from Banjo-Kazooie, and one thing that you can notice, a similarity between the Viva Piñata track and the track that we're playing out with, is that they both sort of show a reverence to romantic era music in the chord progressions and instrumentations a little bit.
Well, we have some really cool things in the coming weeks as we close out this year and head into 2013, so be sure to keep it here every Monday. Thanks so much for listening. My name is Carl Brueggemann.
And I'm Will Brueggemann. Stay cool, everybody.
Here is Freezy Peak from Banjo-Kazooie. Peace out.
Thank you.